A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Domino Angelini, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice mold and musty odors coming from your crawl space. Stay out of there and contact the crawl space experts at AquaGuard Foundation Solutions for your free inspection at aquaguard.net. Now, from what I understand, we had some production surrounding a very special February with the Braves and these 20 days of Braves interviews before we go down to Northport ourselves, the week of February the 20th.
Right, and you're claiming you didn't know that, so where it could have been played before Brian Snitker joins us.
Nick is not clairvoyant. Nick is not a mind reader.
Wow.
Nick is not involved in these production discussions.
Is today Wednesday?
The producers you're throwing under the bus right now.
Kelly, if you tell Nick things, Nick can handle things.
This has been building since.
Nick can read between the lines.
So you're saying I should have said something?
Or is this the pre to the...
With all due respect, if this was a blow-up, you would know it's a blow-up.
Okay.
This is the
new... Fair enough. Still learning.
In front of company, I don't want
to... I'm trying to be polite.
I will tell you this, because she was sitting in here during this break. God's honest truth. Okay. He says it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say it during the break, because if I don't, I'll explode. You were sitting here, so now he didn't explode. He didn't say what he wanted to say during the break.
I like how he talks about me like I'm not even in the room.
So now he's not being passive-aggressive. This turns into aggressive-aggressive.
Aggressive-aggressive.
All right, so Kelly is affiliated with the Braves. So if Kelly, instead of Brian Snitker, this started on
Monday.
Yeah, so if Kelly, instead of Brian Snitker, was to kick off the Braves Brewery, as we're calling it, and really that rolls off the tongue, this is...
Well, hold on.
You say it so well.
You said you weren't going to say it.
I said it. I lied. I always lie. You can't trust anything I say. Here's what it would sound like.
A different member of the Braves roster joins Nick and Chris every day this month on The Fan. Brought to you by Truist Bank. Welcome to Bravesuary. Look, we all put our heads together and this is the best we could come up with. We're not very smart.
Who's we?
Bravesuary.
Bravesuary.
No, you didn't need to be involved in it.
And
really?
I'm not.
Really, because
but
again.
But I do need to be told. See, you have to
here
tell
we go.
Kelly, you got to understand what also happened today.
As the bus driver, Kelly, I need to have a roadmap.
I heard.
Or we go right off the cliff.
But the good thing about Groundhog Day is you get to do it all over again.
Shh.
I'm just saying.
Like it never happened.
So it never happened.
It never happened.
I heard nothing. All I'm saying is tomorrow we get to wake up and it never happened.
Yeah, that's right.
It happens again.
And tomorrow, whatever time we're on the air, day two of Braves Brewery will feature Ozzie Albies. Your conversation you had with Ozzy, who I think is the elixir, makes it all work very, very well and smoothly.
Him being
with
here,
this team.
Him being here is much better than him not being here ready to play. And again, personality wise, Kelly, you know that had to bother him. He came out and he did the work. He was in a boot. He got on his knees. He did the ground ball work. He did all that stuff. But come game time, he didn't get to play, and that's really hard. It's hard on all these guys. It's harder on some of them. He's one of the some of them.
Without question. And he's just known for that jovial personality and the smile. And he, you know, it's contagious, his energy, all of it. And you felt that being missed. And he knows what you just said. He knows he's that guy for the team. And so when you can't be in the mix every day, because there's a difference between stepping on the field when the lights are on versus the guy that's out there putting in the work and is not able to play.
I don't want to say and speak for everybody, but according to what people are saying, you know, on and off the record, when you talk about guys like Acuna and Marcelo Ozuna, they really appreciate the presence of a guy like Ozzie Albies.
He's the intermediary, right, between the other teammates and stuff. That's
His stuff with Ron Washington alone will let you know that it's really hard to actually not laugh in the ballpark, in the dugout, during games, no matter what the situation is. I'm also going to say, I think MLB Network put out their top 10 second baseman. Now, was this out of sight, out of mind? Was he not qualified to be one of the top 10 second basemen because he didn't finish the season the way that everybody was kind of hoping.
I didn't read
as
the fine
in being
print.
Okay.
But it is interesting that he's not there. You use that as motivation now, like Georgia used everything as motivation. Nobody is expecting us to do anything. I'm stealing his gimmick. That's the noise Dino makes.
You see a lot of these teams. Is there 10 second baseman in baseball you take before Ozzy?
Come on. Okay. I don't know what the fine print was either. I just laughed at it. I don't take a lot of stock in that. I don't know. Do you?
No, I don't. I just was wondering if you were going to give the right answer.
They got to produce content like everybody else.
Sure
and
do.
That's
sometimes
the name of the game.
Yeah, you're throwing something together.
Just anything.
You forget a name. You're human.
Oh, God, I only got seven. Who else? Oh, God.
We talked about Georgia real quick. Wanted to mention the fact that Chris Mortensen is our NFL insider from ESPN. He's on with Buck, the Buck Belue Show, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 here on The Fan. He's on with Buck every Wednesday. And he brought this up when the subject of Todd Monken came to be.
I think people are expecting Todd Monken to get offered the Buccaneers offensive coordinator's job. But if that's going to happen, it should happen immediately, like soon. I would think Monken with the Buccaneers is a natural, and I heard that he interviewed extremely well. So I'll be surprised if the Bulldogs are not replacing their offensive coordinator.
So it goes back to what we talked about. Why would Monken leave? I don't know why he would leave for this situation, but it sounds like, according to Chris Mortensen, barring anything unforeseen, Georgia will be looking for a new offensive coordinator. And I go back to something the aforementioned Buck Belue said, Chris, earlier in the week. He said that he spoke to a recruit who was told that if Todd Monken leaves, you're just going to slide Mike Bobo back into that position. So, again, do what you will with all of that information.
Where's the second bomb sounder? You're just dropping them all over the place. You're saying that we now know what the succession order is.
According to what was discussed earlier in the week, Mike Bobo will once again be the offensive coordinator of the Georgia Bulldogs.
I don't know if you know this. Monken, when he sat down with the Tampa Bay Bucks, one of the people there said, listen, I'm not really in a place to tell you, but if it doesn't work so well for Ate Olsbay, how would you like to be the Ed Hay OHK?
That's really good.
Yeah, thank you.
He's well-versed, Kelly, in pig Latin.
That is incredible. You're banking on that? You're banking on that handshake if you're him?
No, Todd Monken had no idea what they were talking about. He doesn't do pig Latin.
And, of course,
Tom
Brady.
He doesn't do pig Latin?
He does.
I would love a segment of you and him doing pig Latin together.
He went home and asked his wife, I don't know what the hell those people were talking about.
I'm Tay 80, Bray. It tired Ray.
Yeah.
So now without Tom Brady, you would really question why he would want this job. Yeah. None of it makes sense.
And I don't know if you know this. Stetson Bennett is flying up the charts because Todd Monken said, I'll take the job. I want Stetson Bennett as QB1.
I'm not sure if you believe what you're hearing behind the scenes. He wants to coach Stetson Bennett again. I think they've had their fill
each
other.
I think they talked about it.
It seems like it's a two-way street. Now, we won a couple of championships. Now, you go your way, and I'm going to go my way.
I can't believe I shouldn't say I can't believe. Again, don't know the man. I'm surprised. Athens is a pretty good deal. And the Georgia quarterback situation, and we know it's not settled, is more settled than the Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback situation. The running back situation, more settled. You might have a receiver or two. Let's be honest. Receivers are a little bit, when it comes to do I get the football enough? What if Mike Evans turns around one day? You pick the turd. The guy really shouldn't. Mike Evans doesn't really believe in this guy. You going to have another problem?
I mean, to me, you stay where you are. You stay where there is stability. You stay where you're most likely going to get a raise just because you're talking to a couple of NFL teams. The grass isn't always greener. And that's one of the things Todd Monken said when the NFL subject came up prior to the championship game. The grass isn't always greener. Heed your own words.
We'll see.
In this case.
And listen, I don't know. Mortensen would certainly know more than me, and Buck and a recruit certainly knowing about Mike Bobo, which means the conversation had to, this is not going to catch Kirby Smart by surprise. When I joked this morning, somebody get Kirby the Mort report. Send him a copy. Does he know this? The smart people line up for what? Plan A, Plan B, Plan C, and Plan D.
And the Braves have all of those plans, and we'll talk to Kelly Kroll from Bally Sports Southeast. She's in studio with us about those Braves plans and more when we come back. It's Domino and Cellini. It's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. /1:26, it's Domino, it's Cellini. It's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Isn't every Wednesday a Rod Stewart Wednesday? The 1 o'clock hour. You're darn tooting it should be. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard Foundation Solutions. Kelly Kroll here in our studio with us, Bally Sports Southeast. So we're all going to be down at spring training just about the same time together. So if you plan a dinner, I'm a captive audience now. I can't cancel. There's no way out.
I'll believe it when I see it. Every time I've put something together,
you've bailed on me.
I can't use the boy right now as an excuse.
But he's I am so excited to see you guys and to be back here and to get the season's sort of feeling like we're underway here shortly. And yeah, Northport, Snit's right about that. I was listening to you guys. There are some hole-in-the-wall sort of joints that I think you guys would really appreciate. Unless you want to dress up. I mean, I know how big you are on dressing up. I can make sure we have white tablecloths and fancy.
No, I'm good. I'll go like this. Be comfortable. Dry fits for me.
Yeah, I'll get it set up. We'll get J-Chad and Ben. We'll make it a whole thing.
It's not Orlando, though. I've not been down to Northport.
Yeah, I've only ever heard about Orlando. See, I did the Cactus League for 6 years before. Okay. This is my, you know, now with the Braves, only third or fourth year.
You never Orlando.
No, and I loved the Cactus League because you're so close there, which is really nice. And Scottsdale, I mean, for spots, dinner spots and whatever, it's from an old town, everybody knows. But yeah, you got to work a little harder, but that doesn't mean it's any less great.
Well, here's what I plan on doing. I plan on going to catch my own dinner.
Okay, I'll pass on that.
I'm not. I would I would know what to do. I do know this. From what I understand, obviously the beach is close. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen, I don't know if these guys are real, is it fishing? Is it fishing if you wake up, you put a tube in the sand, you put you throw it out there, and then you put your fishing pole in the tube. Is that fishing?
I mean, technically it is, but it's not hands-on fishing.
I know. If your hands aren't on a fishing pole, are you actually fishing?
One can make an argument that no, you're not.
Make a case for the other way, too. You can do that. Granted, the massive retirement communities on Los Angeles. I mean, like, happy hour starts at 3 p.m.
Perfect.
Or whenever you want it to start.
Now you're speaking his language.
Yeah. Right?
About 6:30.
Then you got the, what do they call it? The blue hair special.
If you weren't
and
married.
And off we go. We're in bed by 8.
If you weren't married, would this be your brand new target-rich audience going to Northport for a week for Braves spring training?
Hello, doll.
Right. If you weren't married.
I think you'd find out about the catch of the day? Trick question, it's me. Yeah.
Did you come up with that on the spot, or have you been holding on to that one for a while? Because that was tremendous.
Thank you, Kelly. These things happen. They just happen. I can't say how or why.
He went off and totally redeemed himself just then, I think.
Did he?
Yeah, I love that. That is as cheesy as it gets for a pickup line.
He would slay.
He would slay.
Yeah.
I'm really proud you know that well with your daughter.
You know why? Because he doesn't have great social skills.
Again, I'm in the room. I can actually hear you.
From what I understand,
right here.
From what I understand, once you get to a certain age, they're not looking to be impressed like
no,
that.
No, no.
They don't need a lot of jibber jabber.
No, and the woman would say that to me. You see, I'm not saying that to her.
Okay, now I get it. I'm following. Okay,
it's all coming full circle. Now it's not so good, probably. Anyway, Kelly Kroll is here in studio with us. So we talked to Snit about a few things, including the catching situation. You had a chance to talk to Travis d'Arnaud, did you not?
You sure you want to? You ready to pivot? You don't want to keep going down that road?
We can always turn back down that road. We can just come right back around.
No, probably baseball's a good thing.
Yeah.
The other night I had a chance, right, to do and be part of the Braves Gala and. As the kickoff to Braves Fest and everything like that. And one of the takeaways I had from that night that I just remember observing and thinking, not that it surprised me, but I just am more and more impressed the longer I'm around Travis d'Arnaud as far as his leadership skills behind the scenes that really very few people talk about, very few people, I think, recognize because he's not, he doesn't have a sign on his forehead saying, you know, I'm the leader of this clubhouse. He's not out there talking about it, all this stuff. But he made sure pretty much all night long he was next to Sean Murphy and he was making sure Sean Murphy was around, you know, whether it was getting to know Matt Olson or I saw him with Kyle Wright. I saw him with Austin Riley. And then I spent, a good amount of time talking to Sal Fasano, a little bit with Walt Weiss. And Sal made it a point kind of to look at me and be like, that right there, that move has won. It's elongated Travis's career if he looks at it. The way that he will. And two, he is going to be such a great mentor and helper and teammate to Sean that these two, and you could see already like the chemistry sort of starting between the two of them.
He's not big timing Sean Murphy at all.
And there's nothing to worry about as a Braves fan as to if his playing time is diminished somewhat or he's not seeing as many starts or all that. that's not going to change Travis d'Arnaud's disposition on the field or just who he is innately. And I remember walking away that night being like, man, I'm pumped to see these two work together, to see these two game plan together, to have Sal Fasano at the top of it, and just what can transpire then with a young pitching staff, right? Like, I just, that excites me.
And you talked about Travis d'Arnaud when I bring up Ozzie Albies being another one of those guys. Those are two very important players in that clubhouse in every sense of the word.
Yeah, I didn't think, knowing Travis well enough, knowing what his career path has been. Look, this guy's got second life. And I agree 1,000% with Sal. You want a second life to keep going? Okay, let's get you off your legs a little bit. Your brain is in a place where we won't find anybody smarter. Let's put your body there where we can get the most out of it. I don't picture Travis d'Arnaud passing Sean Murphy in a hallway at Braves Fest. Yeah, that's not really what this is about. It's not conducive to being a good teammate on top of everything else. I think that matters to a guy like Travis d'Arnaud. You get a ring, can't take it away from you. You hit 10 years, they can't take it away from you. What do people say about you? Do they want you around for another year or two even after? Mm-hmm. That's how you actually do it. You do it while you're still playing.
Without question. And he's the guy, too, I just think about, let's say there is a slightly different dynamic where, you know, he's in the dugout a little bit more maybe than he was a year ago. This is the guy that, whether it is the starting pitcher that day that sits down, that he sees something, that's pulling out the iPad, that's pointing something out, that's also in the ear of Von Grissom when he comes back, that also saw, you know, Ronald shading one way or the other, that's pointing that out. He's just so instrumental behind the scenes that whatever the role kind of looks like moving forward, I just think it's going to be tremendous for this team. Sean, I think Sean was a great addition. Again, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, going back to something else we talked to Snit about a few minutes ago, the shortstop position, the sum's greater than the parts. I mean, I think that's the attitude you have to take right now, but it really is, when you start to think about it, the great unknown, that position.
It is, and I know Von Grissom's chomping at the bit, right? I mean, the kid believes he's ready for it, and I'm glad he does, because that's the kind of confidence you want in a guy coming in like that. And I think the fact that you've got Wash just glowing about the work that he's done, I think that means something. I really do. We were talking about it, and I'll be very transparent, right? I think there is something to be said for how you protect both of them if you're thinking about platooning with Orlando Arcia and Von Grissom. I think they both just, you see them every day, and you don't know exactly at this point in Orlando's career what to expect, or with Von, as young as he is, what to expect. So I think you got to be careful with both of those guys, and I think that's the plan, though, I do, going into the season.
Boy,
and then
I'll just say this,
how that evolves.
I don't know, like that plan? Well, no. I just don't know who the last team that platoon shortstops.
Well, it's interesting to know, like you said, Kelly, how do you balance it out? Because you want to protect Arcia because he's older and it's a demanding position. But then again, you also want to get the inexperienced player in Von Grissom, that experience, those at bat. So it is a fine line that you're walking if you're going to decide to kind of rotate the two with that position.
Yeah, you're right. And when you say that about shorts, I get what you're saying, right? So is there a platoon that works where you're 70-30 versus
Look, I wish left field was a little bit settled, which would mean DH is a little bit settled. Here's the thing. I want my shortstop, if this is the team I think it's going to be, make the plays you're supposed to make. Turn a double play. Let's not give away a free out. Let's not turn this into a 29-out game for them because we didn't shuffle it the right way. We didn't get it out of your hands quick enough. Your arm isn't big enough to go get a bang-bang play at first. Those things can happen. It could be fluky. You could throw a bad, you know, Matt Olson's got to get a little bit better, and he's going to have to work with a new shortstop. And quite honestly, a new second baseman. He wasn't around Ozzie a lot either. So I wish the left field DH thing was settled where I would say, I don't care if the shortstop doesn't hit as long as he makes every play he's supposed to. But I'm not sure I have DH settled, unless it's one of the two catchers. And I know I don't have left field settled. So am I going to ask the shortstop to have more offense than maybe he's capable of? I don't want to get to that point. If Von Grissom can play it, just make the plays he's supposed to make. I hit him ninth. I tell him, don't worry about anything. I don't know if he's that, though. I don't know if he's an everyday shortstop.
He felt more comfortable in that one game he basically got to play there the second they pulled Dansby at the very end of the year, you know, against Miami, just so he had all of that starts. He told me going into that game, I'm so excited. This is the most comfortable I felt since I've come up because I get to be back over at shortstop. I always love telling this story if we have time. Do we have time?
We'll make time if we didn't have time, Kelly.
I'll make it real quick.
No, we have plenty of time, seriously.
Like, we know the work ethic for Von Grissom's there, and I know, you know, if you want to see the Braves win, you want to see him do well. I get it. One of the stories I heard Wash tell me last year going into spring training was that when Vaughn was there, he came up to him and said, hey, I want to start doing this work with you, right? And Wash was like, okay, here's my schedule. First guy here that I start with, and then all throughout the day I'm booked till here. So Austin Riley's here at 7 a.m. If you want to do this, it's before that. And he said every day at 6:30, Vaughn Grissom was showing up to that field at spring training. And that is kind of where it started. He goes, that is when I knew he was serious. And he goes, it's also when I knew I wasn't going to get any sleep. Poor Wash was like, but he was there every day doing the work at 6:30 because that was the only slot left. And those are the kinds of things that I think, you know, I do think make you feel like you're maybe ready for this position. No one's going to tell him he's not. That I do know.
Yeah. Wash had one other condition. You will have a cup of coffee and a pack of heaters in your hand.
There was a few MFers dropped too, right? But we don't use that on here.
No.
So,
but
yeah,
you can't if you're going to work.
But if you know Wash, right, you got to throw that in there, right?
You cannot be offended easily by language if you're going to work with Ron Washington. That's just the way it's going to be. Yeah. Chris D'Amino's the same way.
I don't
have to know.
I don't think we're going to be in a world where it's Rosario, Ozuna, Grissom, Arcia. I think something else is going to happen.
Yeah, I think Alex is still working.
I think something else is going to happen. I'm not saying what it is. And again, I'll say this. I have no problem saying it into a live microphone because I've said it into one. I'm going to reiterate it. If Marcell Ozuna is 5 pounds overweight, leave.
Based on what I saw, some video of him working out, he is in shape.
Good.
Because, whatever that's
because
worth.
That's the first sign. Good. I'm not telling you he will be. You're 8 pounds overweight. I can't trade you. You know, it's that moment that Billy Bean has with fake David Justice.
I can't
Justice.
Trade you anyway. You slice it.
That's what I'm saying.
You're here. Or that's I'm going to eat the money, yeah.
Right. So I got 37 million. You have 37 million reasons to know that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have baseball games to win. I can't do it, but it's like the Billy Bean moment in the movie with the fake David Justice. I'm not paying you $7 million, Billy. You know, the Yankees are paying half of this. So at a certain, I guess my point is I would send him away. Go lose 5 pounds. Don't come back till you come back. Nick, if he's in shape, great. First sign I'm going to get is, are you ready to attack baseball? You come in shape, I got no beef. Go win the job.
Kelly, I wanted to ask you about Matt Olson. A lot of people, myself included, gave him a hard time when he struggled last year. In retrospect, they're all professionals. They're all making big-time money. But he's back home. He's replacing Freddie Freeman. Do you think he felt that pressure last year?
I do. I mean, subconsciously maybe even, right? You've told yourself no, but it is. It's a mind game you're playing with yourself. And I was actually, when you guys were talking to Snit and Snit brought him up, he had, you know, the foundation that he represents, they had a casino night. It was a big success to see all the guys that came in from that. This is a weekend after Braves Fest that came back just to be there to support him. The one thing I noticed about Matt that I thought stood out to me right away the first time I saw him just a few weeks ago is he looks, I mean, night and day more comfortable right now in his own skin here with his teammates and guys than I ever remember really seeing him a year ago. I mean, so to answer that question in a roundabout way, I think we're going to see Matt Olson this season start the year feeling like this is home and this is where he belongs and there is no more, you know, who's not here anymore versus he's
you really
guy.
Had to hit the ground running last yeah. year if you're Matt Olson.
Without question.
After the lockout and everything else. And here we are, play baseball.
And you know the people are looking at you. Oh, you're the guy uh-huh. who replaced. I will
and
say,
you're back home.
Yes.
Look, I sat down with Sean Murphy, and he is not a juggle spin plates guy. Matt Olson is not either. But I can tell you just last week at Braves Fan Fest, Matt Olson was a little bit more verbal. He was a little bit more.
So you felt it to a degree. That for him is comfort.
It is,
because he can be very short.
Right. I just felt that, again, if we're going to really psychoanalyze, maybe he's walking in and the weight isn't on him this year. Maybe he's actually going to walk a little taller this year. Doesn't have to answer that. You don't. By the way, if anybody asks you about Freddie Freeman a year in, you're allowed to tell him, you're allowed to ignore them completely or tell them to go kick rocks or go a little bit further than that. It's off the table now.
That'll make a bigger headline, though, won't it?
It's probably not.
Olson tells reporter. Kick rocks.
Go kick rocks.
Or if you walk
gonna,
right through them.
I'm going to aim for that this year. If I can get him
one
to tell
time,
me,
just
kick
one
rocks,
time.
Kelly. Yeah.
You're not entitled to ask him about that now. Now, look, he will be asked probably in spring training. And, do you feel
more
okay,
comfortable?
Right.
Or,
once
yes,
it's done.
We're going to ask him that.
It's done.
He comes out with us. Or at least I am.
Okay. But one time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, yeah, if I see him again 2 weeks later, I'm not going to ask the same question.
Yeah,
no.
June 8th. Hey, Matt, can I talk to you a second? Hey, that Freddie Freeman thing.
It does speak volumes, though, like the Austin Riley charity event. People showed up.
I mean, because that's, for instance, that we were just talking about, Travis d'Arnaud, his offseason home's in California. Right. He flew here for Braves Fest and back, and then flew back again a week later with Brittany to be part of this foundation that does tremendous work.
That guy's got kids, too.
He does, yeah.
They got babysitters. That ain't cheap.
But for casino night, you know, you don't want to miss that. You really don't want to miss that. They had a good time. And before we, okay, I don't know what our timing's like, but before we wrap up, I want to tease a few things that I'm working on at spring training. I think you guys are going to be really excited about it. The listeners will be excited about it. And I expect support from both of you on the days that I'm doing this. Like, I mean, come on, Kelly, we got this. Like today. Yeah. So one, Washwork. He's making me do it with him. I did not play softball. That wasn't my sport. I was tennis. I think the hand-eye coordination should help a little bit.
You're going to do what Domino did a couple of years ago. You're going to go through the drills.
How'd that go for you?
Yeah, went well.
You sore afterwards?
No. God, no. No, this is not a lot of movement. It's not about that. It's about your concentration. And you don't want to disappoint.
That's my big thing. I just don't want to disappoint him.
Well, you know it's being videoed.
Oh, yeah.
You know it's being videoed. And you don't want to disappoint a guy who's spending his time. He could be doing something else, and you don't want this to be
amateur
hour. This
is his push. I have been, for all of last season, I was like, no, maybe
so will that
training.
Be that, that you guys
so
are videoing
So I want you guys
that.
There cheering me on for that. Yes.
You're mm-hmm. Okay.
The other thing I got lined up is bowling with Michael Harris. Mm-hmm. Going to get him out onto the lanes. And whether it's a me versus him thing or teammates, like I got a guy, he's got a guy.
He's a good bowler, Domino, if you need a guy.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Michael Harris, I think I asked him, how that was going. I did ask him about how many bowling, when a guy tells you he has multiple bowling balls, like at his house, like right now, he's
that's
got
a guy
multiple,
that takes it very seriously.
That's a guy who bowls. You're going to have to get pins. Do you understand the concept in golf? You get strokes and bowling, you get pins. You're going to have to get pins.
That alone shows me how little confidence you have in me. Do you know anything about my bowling history? You don't.
No, your father, you told me, was in the Bowling Hall of Fame. We found out that that's not exactly
my
true.
Dad was a professional bowler, and he owns a bowling alley. So some people are like army brats. I was a bowling alley brat. Literally grew up in a bowling alley. Do I bowl 300s all the time? No. But I think I can hold my own with Michael Harris, and you're asking me to have him spot me pins?
You're going
to
need pins.
What competitor does that? No, I don't know that Michael Harris is better than just trick shots. I've not actually seen him go out and bowl 12 frames, have you?
The whole
I've seen
tone
him do
in
a
her
whole
voice
bunch of
changed.
I know, he fired me up here. I don't like that. Okay, anyway, and last
do
but
do you
certainly,
have your own bowling ball at your house?
More than one.
More than
and my own shoes.
I got to tell you, as an innocent bystander, Domino, I think some apologies are in order.
Well, I'll see the bowling first. I also was a little bit surprised. I asked Michael Harris, I thought 16-pound ball. I think he told me 14.
Ooh,
I was like, ooh.
That's a heavy 16. What are you trying to, first of all, you trying to throw your back out? You don't need that when you're that strong. You don't need a heavy ball. It's all about the revolutions. Yeah, kind of like a pitcher.
Spin rate.
Have to be 100 miles an
spin
hour
rate.
If they know how to. Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you play right to the edge of the gutter?
I do not have as big of a hook as he does. Okay. No, okay. I'm a.
So you
it's
must
very
know.
Mild,
you must know.
But I'm consistent.
You must know what the last whatever you bowled in. Mm-hmm. Did you bowl in leagues growing up?
Yeah, like when I was a little kid.
Okay.
Yes.
What was your average when you were bowling?
As a 12-year-old, maybe 11-year-old, I was at like a 130 average, 135 probably.
What do you think you roll right now?
If I went out tonight.
Two games, add them up, two games.
Two games added up?
Yeah.
300.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
You're going to need pins.
You think he's averaging over 150?
Yeah. Yes.
I've never seen him pick up a spare. That I don't know if you know that. That's a big part of bowling.
What's a spare?
And strikes.
What's a spare? What's
a
spare?
So,
what happens on
like
a spare?
If he gets like an eight
the
and then
ball,
leaves a pin,
the
I'm
ball,
already winning when I pick it up. So,
oh, so what
I
happens on the third
know.
Ball?
I don't know though how good he. I'm listen. I'm pins. Totally talking a big game right now.
So
I do not know how good he is technically. I've seen his trick shots and they are impressive. The left-handed thing is always awesome to me to see a lefty bowler. My brother's a left-hander,
so
and they make it
Wash,
look so much better.
And
infielder
it,
bowling,
it is picturesque. To
and
see
then
a lefty
I might have saved the best for last. I don't know, but I feel like you'll appreciate this. So, I got to sit down with Dylan Lee for a hot second and at Braves Fest, and I asked, hey, you got, where are you staying? Like, spring training, have you figured it out yet? And he was like, man, I mean, do you know how hard it is to find a place down there? Which it is a little bit tough. Mm-hmm. Northport hasn't entirely developed down there as far as real estate goes, so a lot of guys are staying out in like Venice and different places like that. And he goes, man, I'm just gonna take my fifth wheel, my wife and I, we're just gonna set up, at a campgrounds right up the road. And I was like, hold on. You're bringing your like RV, like a full blown RV. And he's like, yeah, I mean, that's where I'd prefer to stay anyway. And I said, without question, we are doing like a cribs digs. Mm-hmm. I got to see this. I cannot wait to go check out the RV with Dylan Lee. RV with Dylan Lee.
Yeah,
rhymes.
Yeah, it rolls off the top.
Is he parking it on a beach?
You need a hook, Kelly, and you got one.
There you go.
Going back to the left-handed bowler.
I don't know if that's more enticing than bowling, but, are we getting this hard? Okay, got it.
No, those are three
great
features.
Sounds like you're going to be busy.
Yeah.
It's going to be great, and then I'll still have time to make reservations for you guys.
Sold.
Looking forward to this trip for so many different reasons. And another season with Kelly Kroll. Always good to see you.
I can't wait.
Kelly with us from Bally Sports Southeast for another season. And like we said, we'll be down there at spring training down at Northport for the first time together as well.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Hey, Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.